This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3806 for Monday, the 6th of March, 2023. Today's show is entitled HPR Community News for February 2023. It is part of the series HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 77 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is, HPR volunteers talk about shows released and comments posted in February 2023.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon, and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. Joining me today is...
Hi there, it's Dave Morris.
Yes, Dave, trying to take over my show. Fat chance that's going to happen.
Welcome to the Dave Morris, blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
No, I must say you did a brilliant job last month. Anyway, two people new to this whole concept. This is HPR Community News, where the janitors put down their proverbial mops of office and have a look around and go through all the shows and talk about the stuff that's been happening in the HPR Community News this month. I will want to say that there's going to be a lot of profanity in this show. So if you are, that'll be later on when we do the comments section. So at that point, be aware that that is something that you're going to need to take care of. You've got a few minutes, so if you're heading down the highway with the kids in the back of the car, now would be a time to turn it off or listen with headphones on or something. So fair warnings on this one. Anyway, as is traditional, community news, we look at what HPR is. It's a podcast where every show is submitted by a volunteer host, very much like you. And while we have shows for the next week and a bit, we're still short of shows. So if you could send in a show, that would be great. If you've never recorded a show before, just press record on your mobile phone or other device and say, hi, my name is blah, this is the journey of how I got into tech, and introduce yourself to the community. Go to the website, pick a free slot, fill in your email, you get a link, you fill out the form, it's fairly self-explanatory. Most important thing is to upload your show, and then we'll take care of the rest. So more people do that, the better. And then you can listen to next month's community news, where we will then give you a list of shows that we would like to hear more from you. It's all very simple, Dave, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
And as is traditional, Dave, you introduce the new hosts.
Yes, we have three new hosts this month, which is wonderful. We have Screwtape, we have Starship Tux, and we have David Thrain Christiansen, who I think you met at Fosdem.
Indeed. I think maybe in McNallu. I met a lot of people. A lot of people at Fosdem. We were supposed to do a follow-up show on that, but life kind of got in the way. But that's something we might just do at a later date.
Yeah, anyway. It'll still be valid.
Yeah, exactly. HPR, we're not that worried about rushing shows out on time. So the first thing that we do is we go through the shows that were on last month. And the first one that was up was from Mike Ray, episode 3783, which I have to admit, Dave, I was a bit worried about when he posted that one.
Why particularly?
Well, you know, just to give people a background, what some people might not know is that Mike is visually impaired, and as a result uses text-to-speech tools to navigate our website. And I was worried like that there was going to be whole chunks of the websites missing, and Mike wouldn't know because you know, the screen reader doesn't see it, so if the screen reader doesn't see it, Mike doesn't hear it. Mm-hmm. But I think it was okay, all in all.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
It's not perfect by any means, but I think we've between us managed to move the line further forward over the years, especially with some feedback from Mike and other visually impaired people. So Yeah, don't be complacent, but I think we're not too badly off.
Yeah, it didn't sound that horrendously bad. I mean, what it sounded like, and I personally consider that any accessibility bugs or a P1 bug, that's not to say it'll get fixed straight away. It's just it's at the top of the list when we have time to fix stuff. And yeah, so that's good. Mechiatronic says, actually, can you do the first comment? Because I responded and then I can respond.
Yeah. Mechatroniac says, apropos of HPR. That was my interjection, by the way. HPR, the site is awkward to download from now that I'm using a standalone MP3 player and my computer instead of an Android podcasting app that automatically does it. I don't understand why things are made more tedious for PC users, but this is a degradation. It doesn't help that the podcast apps for PC are garbage. PodFriend doesn't even let you download. There should be a way to download more than one podcast at once without mastering some scripting language. The way it stands is if I want to download shows, I have to navigate to each individual page and then click to the MP3. Why not put an MP3 link on the main list so people can download the podcast without having to go to each individual page first? This is so tedious, especially after getting used to the ease of Android apps.
Yeah, to which I replied, podcast clients. Hi, Mechiatronic. Thanks for the feedback. Can you clarify which page you mean when you say main list? The main page is a link to the media files. If you want custom control, then I suggest you load the site's RSS feed into any of the many podcasting clients that are available, for example, GPodder, and they will allow you to download all, some, or none, depending on your wishes, I guess, is what I meant to say.
Mechatroniac replies, GPodder. GPodder, I tried once. The Discover New Podcast feature is completely broken. Why can't there be a straightforward list of MP3s to download that I can save as and download from the list? I mean, in the two-week show list, I guess that's good, but it's in RSS format. Forcing people to use another app when all that's required is HTML seems regressive. I think RSS should probably be part of the HTML standard, but it's not, so pain in the ass plugin is required. Anyway, you can search and scroll for the MP3 links in the two-week feed, scrolling a little too much, then it shows the next 5 weeks as links. Why not have an MP3 of each show there? The full list doesn't even display in the PITA extension I'm using. Can't there be easy HTML links for MP3s by the 100 or so? I don't really care about the other formats. I mean, I like the show notes, but when I come here to download MP3s, I want to be able to download a bunch at a time and not have to spend a lot of time doing so.
And he goes on to say, awkward website. Sorry about hijacking your comments, Mike. I will listen to your podcast. I should clarify, the homepage, when you scroll down, is identical to the two-week feed, which is a bit of scrolling to find the MP3s, but okay, since you're on the same page. Then there's the nice table with a list of last month's shows, but no direct MP3 links. So if you are 2 weeks or more behind, you have to click on each show title, then go to that page, find the MP3 link to download the show. Then you have to go and repeat the process. What a waste of time. Can't there be a link to the show's MP3 next to the title on the table so that I don't have to keep going back and forth? Go to archive.org hoping that it would be better optimized. Same. And this is where you turn off your radio. Do, 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 do. Okay. Presumably everybody's now okay with listening to explicit content. Same shit. You give you a picture of the audio waveform in the link page, but no MP3. I'd rather have an MP3 link than look at the stupid waveform. Everything sucks. The hapless HTML user is click labor for no reason. It shouldn't be so punishing for people using HTML. This is a web, after all, and I find the podcast player for the PC insufferable. Most of the good ones are for Android and don't even have a PC version. I would trade all RSS links for a simple table design that had like 100 episodes per page with a direct link to the MP3. If you choose, you can also read the show notes by clicking the title. All it would take is a little better adding a small letter links to the MP3s on last month's show table on the homepage and extend the table for 3 months. I'm sure that room could be made, please.
And another comment from Mechatroniac, NM. Never mind, I'm using the crippled GPod for the RSS for now. I think my comments about the website are valid, though.
Okay, and I go on to say, fixed. I updated the site as requested. I also updated the complete episode guide in Hacker Public Radio index.full.html and created an index of the same change on a new site generation tool, which is issue 70 for Roan, which has also been fixed, I believe. And I would like to say something about this comment and about Mechatronic, who we will be talking about later on very much. This is an example of why we kind of need to guide Mechatronic in what he's saying. He has a valid issue. There's an improvement that can be made in the website. Yet it took three long verbose posts in order to get what he wanted to say across. And once I understood what it was that he wanted to say, it was a trivial matter to implement it. So don't assume that we're not going to do something. So don't be hostile about stuff. Just state the issue. This might be a good idea. I see that there are no links down underneath. It would be a very good idea if you could add those links. Blah. And we will do it. Is that a fair point, Dave?
Absolutely is. Yes, yes. I'd only really come to understand what the problem was as we've been reading these comments, to be honest. So, you know, there was so much verbiage and bad feeling. In
frustration.
There,
and I understand that he's frustrated.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we've all been there. But it doesn't achieve much to do it that way. Yeah.
Because what I'm getting at, right, I'm the person who can fix the issue, and I fix the issue. So I'm sitting here trying to decipher, he's frustrated at something. What is it he's frustrated at? So, Mechatronic. Absolutely write this stuff. Okay, this is an old trick that an old boss of mine used to do. She would write a response to the email going, are you fucking nuts? You're absolutely stupid doing this because blah, 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 and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. Then she would go back and go, oh, actually, maybe they have a point on that, and then rewrite the thing. Of course, hilarity ensued when she accidentally left the people's names in and pressed send and then ran into the server room and turned off the power so that we can get routed out. Those were the good old days. However, write it down and then go back, leave it for 24 hours. Top tip, leave it for 24 hours. You know, it's been like this for 17 years. Another night won't hurt it. Leave it for 24 hours and come back and read it with a fresh pair of eyes. And then submit your bug report. And I think Tattoo mentioned this before when filing a bug report. He said something along the lines of, and I'm paraphrasing because I've had the same thing myself, where when filing a bug report, during the process of filing the bug report, I realize, I haven't covered all the bases. And when I do cover all the bases, I realize what it is. So, again, this is some janitorial advice that we offer here free as a service on HPR. But at the end of the day, Dave, we've got an improvement. It's a valid point because, and I know the history behind it because they were on different pages and then we merged them and I have the feed down there and the code never copied over. So yeah, that makes sense. It's a good suggestion and it has been implemented.
Yep. Yeah, good outcome, but rather tortuous path to get to it.
Exactly. Okay, The next day, Celeste, if I'm reading that correctly.
I believe so.
Two-factor authentication without a phone number, diving into privacy-aware offline methods for generating one-time passwords. So services implement two-factor authentication. And, yep, and we have one comment on this. Whose turn is it?
I've forgotten.
I'll do it.
Okay, go on.
ZenFloater2 says, thank you for making this podcast. I found your version of two-factor authentication interesting and would love it if more companies implemented common sense rather than marketing.
Mm, good point. Yep. I certainly learned something from this episode. The fact that KeePassXC could handle one-time passwords.
Yeah.
I didn't know that at all. So I haven't used it yet, but it could be good to use in some context.
Good show notes as well, if I may say.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Moving on. Hacking Boba Bubble Tropicana Pearl fail. This was operator in the kitchen. And when this one came in, I had no idea what he was on about. So I think I added that link to the Wikipedia article for
Okay.
Tea.
I knew of this. I've not tried it. I don't particularly want to. It's all sugar and I'm diabetic, so I don't.
Yeah.
And I was brought up as a kid eating tapioca, which is
same here.
And hated it, detested it with great violence. It was a dessert that was quite popular in the 60s, 70s and stuff, I think. But I hated it. So, yeah, there's very little attraction in this. But, each to his own. It was quite interesting. I've seen, because I like watching Asian cooking things, because I do a moderate amount of Asian cooking myself. And I've seen things where they make the sort of dough for these balls, and they have a machine that sort of stamps them out and all this sort of stuff. It's very popular in Korea and Singapore and various places, Vietnam, I think, and Thailand and wherever, all over the place. So
I'm surprised at how much sugar there was in there.
Absolutely. It's all really, really thick with brown sugar and stuff. So, not healthy.
There were no comments on that. As yet, probably people were too busy making it to comment.
Chewing their way through, because a fair amount of chewing involved, I would imagine, to eat these tapioca ball things.
Hmm. And then we had the community news where we left you high and dry, Dave. Sorry about that you couldn't use the Mumble server. I had the application started, Moomla, on my phone, and then I closed it, doing the all apps, but apparently it was still recording, which is rather scary,
to be brutally
honest.
Yeah, it was hard to, I mean, from my end, I couldn't tell what was going on, except that I could hear everything that was going on the table, which is not, presumably not what you wanted. It drowned the channel completely. I thought I might have the ability to turn off your connection, but I don't have those privileges on the Mumble. I don't know who does, actually.
We should probably ask. Should probably get you those privileges on the server.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, we managed to find a plan B, and that was fine. But yes, it certainly sounded busy. Wow.
Oh man, it was nuts. It was absolutely nuts. I printed off 1,000 leaflets because I was thinking, there was only like €5 between, 500 and 1,000. So did 1,000 and we gave away 1,000 leaflets.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. And every one of them is a conversation with somebody. And there were loads of people who just didn't take leaflets. They would photograph it, take a picture with the phone and then move off. So there were, and it was quieter than your normal FOSDEM. Just unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So yeah. They were estimating 8,000 attendees there on the website, but not as many in where you were? I don't know. Yeah.
Well, it was just, you know, it was mobbed certain times, but yeah, you could feel that there was less people, there were less queues. Yeah, there was a good whack there, yeah. But mm-hmm. it was easily the less than I, you know, the super long queues and the, you know, on the K building, sometimes when I was recording, going around recording at booths, you just couldn't get to the booth because there was four mm-hmm. or five mm-hmm. people deep. And around the Debian stands and stuff, it was would have been impossible to get to. But I think they moved things around as well. They tried moving the stands to various different places as well, so that kind of helped.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep, yep. Still.
And we had quite a place, Dave, right in the middle, and now I know why.
Yes, yes.
Dangerous. So what they want us to do next year is all the speakers on the main track before they when the main track speakers are announced, what they want to do is that we as Hacker Public Radio will interview these people, you know, where you come from, a standard set of questions, and that audio would be published on HPR and then get released. So I'm actually thinking it's a good idea. The only thing is we may need to spread the workload a little bit so that... Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Need a recording team.
Exactly. So if Clacky can do the Asian ones and somebody, Clatu, can do the Australian, New Zealand folks, and then we have people in the States doing the States ones. You know, cool. And do the European ones. And then there's the whole scheduling thing. So it would be a big thing, but it really does put us front and center, mm-hmm. literally front and center as a FOSDEM. Which, of course, people think it's a European conference, but I saw some statistics there that showed that 65% of the nationalities that were there were... You know, there was a breakdown based on nationalities of speakers, I think, or attendees. I'm not sure how they came up with it, but 65% are Americans. So it may be a European conference, but it's very international.
That's amazing.
Yeah, like Belgium, people from Belgium were way down the list. You know, it was people from the UK, people from Germany, people from all over. So, yeah. It's a very international conference.
Very good.
Okay, so we go on to the next show, I guess. It's shucking crackle like that. That's never what you want. Rowan describes fixing wiring in a ceramic Christmas tree. And that just brought me back to a pair of Christmas lights my father had. Oh my God! When you plug them in, the local power station will go.
Yeah, yeah. I think I've experienced that type of thing. I think when I was a kid, my parents used to put actual candles on Christmas tree.
Yeah,
lit them once, and then went, "Oh, we're not doing that again."
Yeah, yeah.
But The techniques for doing this sort of stuff were dangerous back in the day.
But he got it fixed and seems safer now than it was. So that's a good start.
Did a great job. I like his pictures, by the way, the way that they're all laid out in figure layout. Is that what that is?
Yeah, it's quite good.
It does look nice. Doesn't transfer to archive.org, unfortunately. They strip all that HTML out of it.
Yeah.
It looks nice on the HPR site.
Good stuff. Good stuff. We're going to have to implement the switch over the HPR site. I'm thinking it's only a matter of time. My guilt levels are rising very high, especially at the weekend when you see Rowan's change log comes flooding in. We're going, oh, I still haven't put it live. Okay, well, we need to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll figure out that. No comments on that. Obviously, we'll have to wait for next Christmas before that happens.
Yep.
So, night core tube torch. This is, I don't know, is this everybody in Scotland have one of these?
Everybody in this house.
Yeah.
At the moment.
Big Clive.
Which is just me. Yeah. I did give one to my son's girlfriend because she works late and used to have a little torch in your pocket or in your key ring.
Yeah, very good, yeah.
Yeah. There were no comments here, but I actually got a comment on Mastodon. Somebody saying, oh, that's really good. I enjoyed your show. So that's first time for me.
Yeah, good. Should maybe incorporate some of the Mastodon-y stuff at some point.
Yeah, if we can trace it or whatever. Or
point anything to postpone launching the website, Dave. I just know it's going to be a mess. It's not that it's going to be a mess. It's going to be that anytime I do stuff like that, suddenly my own personal life bogs up and then the HBR site is broken and, you know, there's a division of duty.
Yes. There's running HBR takes a fair bit of time, so yeah. You need to have a clear run at these sorts of things.
Brace yourself. Anyway, the next day we had a new host Screwtape with common list portable games, including ACL2 format Logic, to which Claudio says, Claudio M, great first episode. Hey, fellow SDFer, which is the SDF, what does that sound for?
So it's something like Super Dimension Fortress.
Ah, that's it, yeah. It's the free shell thing.
Something like that. Yeah. It's a Unix cluster that's free access.
Anyway, Claudia continues, I enjoyed the episode, even if it was over my head for the morning drive in traffic. Sounds great, and thanks for the shout-out. I'm glad I had a hand in getting you to submit an episode, and I'm sure everyone is thankful to hear what you had to say. Looking forward to future episodes from you. Maybe we can get Ibeth, another fellow SDFer, to do, for those who don't know, to record an episode on a similar Lisp topic or to respond to your episode. See what he did there? Oh, Claudio's a pro, you see?
Good. And we had a comment from Zen Floater 2. Nice show, he says. I finally decided to join Mastodon today and sent Screwtape a message there. So I'm on the same server instance as Screwtape now. I also went through Gopher resources he's using. I had the big idea that I would use Chrome Gopher extension, my Chrome extension thing to view all of it. Ended up using links from my Linux beta on this Chromebook because the Chrome Gopher extension fell flat on its face. Thanks, Google. I'm going to have to get a new computer with 32 gigs of RAM so I can run Figuita again and quit using these Chromebooks. It's bad on my image. That is to say, if I had an image. Cool.
And the next day we had Tucson. Why can't I say that?
Tucson.
Yeah, Tucson, Arizona. Tucson. Part 2. We continue our month-long stay at Benson, a town just southeast of Tucson.
Tucson.
That place. Tucson, Arizona. Good Lord. Anyway, we'll continue on. Stay for Arizona, didn't run out of things to do, and this was kind of nice because he had links to his pictures, which are on Flickr.
Yeah, yes. I find those fascinating. I've been to Arizona, but not to go around it much. So, it's a fascinating place. Hot and very dry. Still amazing.
Yeah, very good. Listen to this, I must confess, after he posted it, because I couldn't wait for the second part, so that was that. So the following day, my hardware problem, which is keyboards, and yes it is, Starship Tux does indeed have a keyboard problem, and that problem is not having enough keyboards, apparently. Yes.
I was fascinated by this. I've not come across anybody who has quite so many keyboards, though my son is heading in that direction. And Yeah, some really interesting tales about the good and the bad. And I'm going to listen again. I've made a note to myself to do it because there's so much information there. He mentions the Ducky keyboards, which I have here in front of me, with its LEDs cycling through the spectrum or something or other. So yeah, it's a lovely keyboard. It was my Christmas present
very good
last year. Yeah, it's great. It's really nice and solidly built and whatever. But yeah, I'd like to hear tons more about keyboards. It's a fascinating subject as far as I'm concerned.
Just two heads ups that I did there. One was I used the transcripts to get links to all this stuff. So if the links are not ideal, they're as close as I could get based on the transcript, which is excellent. Those transcripts are working out well. And I also applied noise reduction because it was quite difficult to listen to it, the original audio. But the original audio is available up on archive.org if you wanted to get it from there.
Cool. Yeah, good show. Good first show. Very nice.
My comment is this?
I cannot remember.
Right, I'll do it. Trey, keyboard addiction. This was a great perspective on the world of keyboards and customizations. I too grew up with solid mechanical keyboards. The first PC keyboard I purchased was the Leighton Tactile 101 key, and I loved it. Part of me wants to try to get something which would get me back to the feeling of those old keyboards. However, I have a friend who has fallen into the addiction of constantly needing to upgrade, rebuild, customize their keyboard, and I could see myself there easily too. Thanks again for sharing. Great first episode, and look forward to hearing more of your work.
Good stuff. Yes. I'm surprised there weren't more keyboard addicts fucked up. But they're too busy using their keyboards probably.
So the next day we had Learning to Read Music Part 1. I always like to see that coming in, Dave. I mean, somebody owes me a show. In which we learned to read music by going for a walk. This made absolutely no sense whatsoever when I was listening to it at double the speed, so I went back and listened to it and printed off the music sheet. Kind of cool.
Yeah, I also struggled with it because I tend to listen to podcasts when I'm doing other things, and you need to concentrate a lot more than I did first time around. Second time around is better. It's going to need another listen to fully grasp what he's talking about, and a look at his information on his own site. I haven't looked at that yet, but great idea.
You need the sheet.
Yeah. Great idea. I was taught to read music as a kid of about 10 or something, 9 or 10, but I don't remember hardly any of it now. Didn't get into music big time.
So you do Trey's?
Yep. Trey's comment is, what fun. This took me back to my days in elementary and middle school, learning several instruments, and to high school and college choir. This was much fun, as I happened to listen to it while walking around the grocery store. I'm sure it was quite a sight. I finally figured out why I was getting out of breath, though. I listened to podcasts at 1.5 times speed. So sprinting around the grocery store. Thank you for recording this. I look forward to the next parts.
Excellent. And Jezra says, quite possibly the most toe-tapping episode of HBR. Thank you. Although I didn't clap my hands, I certainly tapped my feet in time to the beat while you were typing, all the while typing away at work. So very good. Excellent. Like these.
That's a great idea for sure. Yeah, really good.
And ZenFloater 2 came with God probably will use a Chromebook, which now has a counterpoint show called God will probably use a Chromebook, which is episode 3754 by some guy on the internet, obviously. And ZenFloater 2 says, appraising the show, the squirrels of a thousand hollows, thank you. Oh no, nice. This is a counter to ZenFloater 2 shows. So this is some guy on the internet with a show about God will probably use a Chromebook by some guy on the internet. And it was very well done.
It's confusing, eh?
Yes, exactly. Yes, thank you, guys. Oh, God,
he did. He did a really good job of analyzing the original show with clippings and that sort of stuff, which I think is a really nice, polite way of responding to the show and commenting on it. And,
well, some guy really nicely done. Is a gentleman anyway, so there you go.
Absolutely, yeah. And he did a wonderful job. I did enjoy listening to his response.
And his response to the response to the comment has been?
After Zen Floater's comment, it's a squirrel of a thousand hollows. Scotty says, you are welcome, kind squirrel. I had fun making the show. I'm hoping to create more show responses in the future. Thank you for giving us all something to ponder.
Excellent.
Yeah, a wonderful pair of shows.
Have we jumped into the next month or not? No, we're fine. The next day, Archer 72 had retro karaoke machine restored. Wire the fix, a cassette tape mechanism for resale to a resale shop karaoke machine. There's the thing, actually, that I would like people to stop doing is using the first tense. And start using third tense, is it? Because I copy and paste these. So, but in Archer 72, instead of I fix the cassette tape mechanism, if you could put in Archer 72 fixes the tape mechanism.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And not just Archer 72, everybody does it. So if I'm trying to do that, I'm trying to modify that now when I upload the shows in the first place to go back and fix them. Because it makes the social media stuff a lot easier. I can just paste that when I'm doing the response the following day to the HPR things.
No, fair enough.
Well, back to the show. Excellent. Again, as always, more interesting stuff. I wonder what he does. Does he keep this stuff or does he sell it on?
I don't think he said. I was wondering that because it seemed like quite a fun machine. I'm not sure you'd want to be singing karaoke in your house, would you? I don't know. We've done that
for parties, for birthday parties.
It would be good for kids' parties and that type of thing. Yeah.
Well, we're adults. You can do it.
I don't know.
Don't put away your wand of judgment there. Thank you very much.
Anyway, yes, that would be quite good.
It shouldn't be a wand of judgment. It should be your plunger of judgment, toilet plunger of judgment.
Thank you. Anyway, yes, it was fascinating. I did like the pictures of showing the steps involved and that sort of stuff. I've taken apart cassette players in the past, but not, and have fixed them actually, but they weren't very, very broken, not like this one was. But it's excellent. I thought it was really good. And he was capturing stuff off it using a USB DAC, digital audio thingy. And I was interested in that. I've had a few chats with him about it, actually. But
I saw that on the on the Mastodons, or not the Mastodons, the Elements.
On the Matrix. Yeah, the Element. So.
What? Yeah, can you do One of Spoons, though?
Yeah, sure. One of Spoons says, tape cassettes. I've dismantled a few cassette players in the past. The memories make me shudder, but I thought the pieces were neat. I've never repaired one. I repaired a lot of chewed up cassette tapes, though, albeit stretched or with missing sections. Cool.
Yeah.
I had a splicing thingy for tapes. It wasn't for cassette tapes, so you could get those. Put a bit of sticky tape on and you cut it at a 45-degree angle and stuff.
Yeah.
I did have a splicer for a reel-to-reel tape. Awful thing to have to do. But you could make loops and make strange noises and things, or record people speaking and then play it back to them a million times in a loop. Yeah, I didn't do that. No, it wasn't.
So the next day we had the very first New Year's show, episode one. And it's spring isn't even over here in the Northern Hemisphere, Dave. What's going on?
Yeah, I know. Everything's upside down this year.
Yeah, really exactly. Dogs sleeping with cats. Gosh.
It was great to hear it, actually, this early on. It's huge kudos to the team that made it happen.
Some guy on the internet and H.P. Lovecraft again did a fantastic job with the show notes.
Yep.
I think the transcripts may have helped, actually.
I would think so, yes. But still, it's still quite a massive undertaking.
They are fantastic. I've made a point of just going through each of the links and opening them up because they've tracked down everything. It's excellent.
Yeah.
It is an excellent resource.
Yeah, absolutely. It's quite a fun show. I quite like the length, actually. I left that particular show till late on in my listening for the month because I was sort of slightly daunted the length. Would I have the time to listen to all of it? But yes, I did, and an hour and 30 minutes or so is a good length, I think, for these. So yeah, really good.
I think some of them were slightly longer, but it's probably because, you know, there was no natural place to cut it. So yeah.
Fair enough.
Good.
But they are shorter than we've had in previous years, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So the following day, new host David came in with a quick taste of programming with dependent types. And this was a show that McNallu managed to extract as Foster. So excellent.
Yeah. Well done. So, is it my turn? I don't know.
He is the head of the Haskell organization.
Yes.
Oh, by the by, let's just drop that into the chat here, why don't we? That should be an interview in itself.
It's been mentioned on Mastodon and elsewhere, I think. But yeah. Well, excellent. Good to have him on board.
Whose turn is it on the old comments, Dave?
I'll do this one. Probably is mine. McNallu says, concise and clear. Concise and clear, David, but then I expected no less given what you said to me at the HBR stand at FOSDEM. I'll be trying out some of these languages and reading the books you mentioned. Thank you for this show.
Excellent. You know what we need, Dave, is one of those, you know, chess, you know, speed chess timers things, you know, when we're done the top comments, that I can click mine and you can click yours. And somebody connected up to two Wemoses and then sync it over the internet. That would be a good show for one of our hardware hackers.
Yeah. Yes. I can see that possibility now, but I'm not going to be doing it just yet anyway.
No, not for you, for somebody else. Somebody else listening, show request. Oh, I have no idea what type of show to do. Gosh. Oh, Dave. I weep. When you have a database of some directory full of like 50 different topics that you want to do. I cannot believe people when they tell me they don't have ideas for shows. I challenge you folks, anybody out there, to please contact me if you think you don't have a topic for a show. Anywho. Next day was a show by myself and Roan, basically Roan, but I get credit for it because I press record. And it was about how to do a change request. And I haven't actually done the pull request to fix the thing that I thought I was going to fix. So I better have a look at that at some point.
No, this was good. I sort of vaguely knew how to do this, but I'd never done it. You know, have you done this where you've read the stuff that says, oh, if you want to do this, do X, Y, and Z, and you say, oh, yeah, got the general gist of that. But when you come to actually do it, then you're going, oh, I don't really understand it that clearly. And this helped to fill in the gaps in my mind quite a lot. Yeah, it's good.
And, each Git-like service, you know, GitHub and GitLab and Git-T do it slightly different. So...
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The general steps apply. Okay, good. And there were comments. And the first one was from our good friend Mickeyatronic, who said, "Very cool. I didn't know how much I could help, but it looks like a fun way to learn more about Git and what a static site entails as opposed to whatever it is in effect now. I'm having trouble finding where to register. I keep getting a bad gateway. If I go to an source and there's an index page and then there's a link to the CBI, it says 403 forbidden when clicked, and the git clone command run in Linux connects but asks for a password. Where can I sign up to be a member?" Now, in contrast to his other comments, this was an ideal comment. It gives exactly the steps he was doing. It avoids all naughty words that will push the reader into a bad mood. And it gives you enough information to carry on.
Mm, yeah, yeah. It was a fine bug report, I would say, indeed.
And I'll read Rowan's response to that because it's the last comment, Dave. It's comment number 5. I'll do that one now.
Okay.
And he says, "Hi, Mickeyatronic. If you go to an honest host, at the top, there's a register button, and that takes you to a form. It's not an automated process. It may take a day or two for the registration request to be processed. I am looking into mirroring it in a public location, just haven't had time to do that yet." And I think actually at the time that he was doing it, that was the day we had there was a small outage for a period of time, so perhaps that was it as well.
I think it was, yes. You get a message about bad gateway from Nginx, because I saw it too and reported it to Josh, he was able to fix it quite rapidly, I think. So, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Super. So you can do comment 2 then.
So Norrist says...
And 3, because I'm sick. Yeah, yeah. Sick and tired of doing your work, Dave. And I'm going to nip off and get a coffee.
Okay, have fun. Norrist says, repo location. It looks like we killed repo.anonisthost.net. Well, yeah, or it self-killed, I don't know. Can the HPR generator repo be moved to gitlab.com? Moving the repo would eliminate the need for an additional read-only mirror, and we could take advantage of GitLab's CI/CD. And the next comment, 3, is from Doris as well. Automated build on GitLab. I was able to get GitLab CI/CD to build the HPR static site. First step was creating a mirror of the HPR generator repo. And it gives the git commands to do it, git clone, git remote add, git push. And then he says, then I created a GitLab CI/CD pipeline to check out the HPR site generator from the mirror, load the HPR daily MySQL dump into a MySQL database, build site, publish to GitLab pages. The CI project is, and he gives a link to GitLab for his build of the thing. And says the build is published at, and it's another GitLab link, which presumably, I've not looked at this actually, presumably contains the site actually in a built state. But yeah, cool.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to look as yet either, but it is on my list. A show would be an ideal thing to do about that actually.
Mm-hmm. You going to do comment 4?
Yep. Ron says, "Sweet. Nice work, Norrist. I was thinking about having a mirror on GitLab or my own GitT instance. But now you've done the heavy lifting, smiley face. One minor modification to your site.conf on your GitLab pages will have the audio files and transcripts pointing to the correct spot on archive.org. Media base URL is that."
Yep. Cool.
Cool. The next day was the 22nd of February, and it was laptop second SSD MX Linux install by Mickeyatronic. And this is about doing hardware upgrades. And the first comment doesn't make sense. Oh, yes, the first comic does make sense because Ken says, the original summary was overcoming fucking UEFI and Windows to install a thingy as per policy. And Mickeyotronic says, laugh out loud, I really wanted to hear her swear. Guess I will have to disguise the phonics if I want that to happen. I did get a kick out of reading the transcript. It really did. Holden Caulfield installed Linux. One clarification. My method of dual booting two hard drives in BIOS considered of me simply switching the boot hard drive to the BIOS settings. That can't be done with UEFI. Okay, and the next comment, Dave?
The next comment is from Zen Floater 2, OBS Studio comment. It's entitled, I did go back and read the transcript of my Slackware 15 show, and it seemed a bit unclear on the comment about OBS Studio. I had to compile that program along with others. Slackware 15 offers Kden Live on the DVD, but not OBS Studio. Anyway, sorry for any misunderstanding.
And Mickeyotronic says, reply to Zenfloater 2. Ah, I see. I didn't like to compile on Linux. I tried to compile OBS under Devon once, and there was always one part that was out of date. So I went through all the steps only to find some dependency or another that was too old and had to be updated. But when it can't be updated for some reason, there was a frustrating waste of time. Never want to do that again. I didn't even like having to run apt update, all that code on my computer from all sorts of different sources. That is constantly changing. How that could ever be secure? If you went back in time to the 90s and told a computer user what it's like now, they would think it's nightmarish.
And there's a comment from Luna Bittin-Jernberg. Slackware Grub. It's entitled, Slackware is using Lilo by default, and you don't have to create a boot USB stick. Can just install Lilo to the standard disk you install on, or install Grub from Slack package and configure that.
Okay, very good to know. And the next day, we had Norris with my home router history, which was one I was kind of listening to half-dozed, and then I stopped and went back and re-listened to it because some of this stuff is quite interesting to me at this point. I'm kind of on the lookout for a good gigabit Ethernet routery hardware thing with 2 or 3 gigabit Ethernet ports so I can do some network segmentation. So I'm going to have a look at some of these. And Simfloater 2 says, extremely entertaining. I could not stop my tail from wagging on this program. It was... he's a squirrel, of course. Fine. It was extremely interesting to listen to your program on your router using OpenBSD. Could you give us an idea of the throughput on this device using OpenBSD? Try using Link Removed, which is a speed test site.
Okay. Windigo...
No, it's not. It's an OpenBSD live system. F-U-G-U-L-T-A.
Yes.
Yeah.
Figuita. He's done shows on this in the past. It's a very strange name, but I thought it was some sort of Japanese fish when I first heard it, but there you go. So, next comment. Windigo says, custom routers. Routers in this country. I've been looking into DIY OpenWRT hardware, and PC Engines came up a couple of times. I'd never heard of them before and was happy to hear about your experience with them and other devices. Cool. I missed a bit. Thanks for the well-timed episode, he said.
Perfect. Love it when that happens. But then again, wait 17 years and all our episodes are well-timed, Dave.
Yeah, true, yes.
NIST Quantum Cryptography Update, and this is from 2022, and there's probably no harm that the date is in there, but still, good update at the time. I listened to it. And Brian in Ohio says, Moore's Law, interesting episode, but Moore's Law has to do with transistor density, not systems getting better. Also, how Ahuka know the inner workings of Ukrainian OPSEC? I'm guessing he doesn't. Well, I could tell you how he knows, but I'm afraid I'd have to edit it out.
Yes. Zenflow to two comments. Very interesting. I found this program very interesting. It was a goodie, he says.
High praise indeed from the squirrel.
Yeah, it was good. I don't know quite where it's going to go, but yeah. But we don't need to be too worried, I think, is Ahuka's message.
Yeah. Speaking of American mammals, I guess, gophers, Screwtape had another excellent episode on using the gopher protocol. And you know what, Dave? I tried this out. And I have to say, I love the beauty of it. It's just so simple. You just go, you get the file, you read the file, that's it. No crap.
Yeah. I installed a Gopher server on the university's, what was then a mainframe VMS cluster. Before there was much in the way of web, where web was a very, very, very new thing, and we weren't sure we wanted to play with it, and how foolish we were. It wasn't a general thing. It was a thing we used to put up information about the university. We were going to try and do things like the next bus times and stuff.
Yeah.
But we never quite managed to get the information that we wanted or have enough people to manage stuff. But it was really nice. We definitely had quite a lot of stuff that had been put there by the computing service department I work for. So, you know, get a lot of stuff on there from about where to go, who to see, about stuff, how to get access to certain things and so on. It was a really nice way of making that available. And the web stuff, when that became available a year or two later, looked really crappy in comparison. Because early web stuff was grim in the extreme.
Yeah.
Whereas Gopher was nice. But it was quite an interesting voyage back in time for me. I'm amazed that people are enjoying it as much as they are. It's quite nice to see.
Yeah, but I mean, we could plus all of... I've been thinking about doing the Gemini protocol because it seems to me, you know, we have all this data on HPR. We could just dump it out to a text file and boom, you've got a gopher site with all that content. And equally a Gemini protocol. So I'd like to know what, if somebody wants us to do that, that's, you know, now is the time because we're doing the static site. So it's another template essentially. So, talk to us.
Static site and a gopher site is going to have some similarities, you'd think, in terms of the sort of overall structure. Yeah.
We can, as we're generating the index.html, we can generate whatever it is that we need for a gopher site, and the subdirectories are all going to be there. So, yeah, it's just extra disk space. Doesn't even need to be on the main site. You could use the templating language and just run it, you know, on gopher.hackerpublicradio.org. Yeah, if anyone's interested. Attack of the Squishmallow. And I had to go to Wikipedia to find out what a Squishmallow was. But that makes
me
a lot
too,
of sense.
Me
there.
Too. I'm out of that world now, having my children grown up. There's lots of strange toys still lurking around in corners of this house, but we never got into that one. yeah, fascinating.
And as I was listening, I see. I like the effect there. That's kind of cool. As I was, the thing about these shows from Rowan is, you know, or indeed anybody who's doing a fix as you go show, you don't actually know if they're going to fix it or not at the end. This is that like moment of terror when you're there going, is it going to work? Is it going to work? Yes, it works. Yeah. Very good. Love that
feeling. I did enjoy his pictures of things like lots of little cups with lids on in squares, marked off squares. That is really nice. And also his rather lovely iFixit driver kit. I've got one of them. There's quite a number of different types, actually. But this one looks really cool. You can get there's a tray you can get from iFixit, which has got lots of little square wells stamped out of PVC or something. That's what I use when I'm doing this sort of stuff. But I think Rowan's method might have slight advantages, and he's got lids.
yeah.
So he knocks stuff over. It's hopefully not going to roll away and disappear under furniture.
Well, I am always terrified when I do something like this, is I'm going to get called away halfway through.
And yes.
Then, then it's just there. And, accidentally you're picking up a towel or something with the washing down here as well, and then the whole thing goes flying across the room.
Yeah. People on YouTube, because they are on YouTube, are filming these sorts of things. So I've seen people do really complicated teardowns and rebuilds of all manner of stuff, and the comments say things like, "How did you remember?" And the reply is, "Well, I looked at my video and saw where that screw came from." So there's probably a moral there. If you were to set up a webcam or something to film yourself, then it might be quite useful if you're ever doing anything as complex as this one seems.
And the next day we had chatbot we didn't.
Hold on.
The
next month.
Surprise.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. There you go. See what you did there, Dave. So, what else did we have? We had one comment on a previous show, which was a Linux distro review, episode 3776 by Bookworm. And Brian in Ohio had commented how to do it. This is how to do a distro episode, great episode, in which Bookworm replied, "Thanks for the compliment, I appreciate it. I have since decided to use ZeroBox as a ZoneMinder server. We'll see how that goes, and I'll record an update." Yes! "I need to purchase a couple of hard drives first and maybe do a clean install, do a reinstall for a clean start on that project. Recommend me a non-systemd distribution for a newish laptop, explicit. I tried Slackware, Devon, MX Linux, and they're all broken in various deal-breaking ways. I figured I must need a rolling release. Go to Arteryx. Their website looks like dog shit. Can't even log into their forum. It keeps giving errors. I wanted to sign up just to complain that they're a fucking Telegram, that they use fucking Telegram. They release stuff on a fucking Telegram channel, which makes me question their sanity and competence right away. Are these fuckers on meth? Telegram is fucking dog shit, as they make you sting up with a phone number. If you aren't a member of the Telegram, you can't see anything. Whoa, great fucking FOSS, they're fucktards. Needless to say, I'm very put off Arteryx from the start, and I bet it's an absolute piece of shit. Judging from their shit website and the fact that they're publishing on fucking Telegram, does anybody have any recommendations for a laptop distro without systemd? Does Gen2 or BSD play better with newer hardware?" Do you want to do John Doe's response?
Yes. We get the next email is from John Doe Locksmith. Great name. "While I think your way of starting out here is rather off the wall, even offensive, have you tried Antix?" he asks.
And Jezra responds saying, "Agreed, childish and offensive. If someone's asking for help was speaking to me like that in public, I would turn around and walk away."
And
there are two responses.
There's Jezra saying, marking something as explicit is not... Oh, sorry, have I got them in the wrong order?
No, it's not you. What's happening is Mechiotronic is not responding to everybody on the list. He's responding directly to the person who sent this. So his response in private to Jezra was, "Eat shit, then cocksucker. It says explicit." Then Jezra replies, saying,
"So Jezra, having received this comment, says marking something as explicit is not a shield against being called out for using pejorative language."
And he replies back to the mail list, which is exactly what he should have done. And Mechiotronic then responds, saying personally, directly again to Jezra, "Make sure you take all your clot shot boosters to dickhead." To which Jezra responds,
"I've scheduled a booster shot appointment for after lunch," he says.
Super. And Carl Chavez says, "Give Alpine a shot, alpinelinux.org. And in a completely unrelated email, I say, "Hi all, there's a long-standing policy on HBR about moderation, saying we do not vet, edit, moderate, or anyway censor the audio you submit. We trust you to do that. We were asked a few times at FOSTEM, as to how we get away without moderating, I pointed out that the most important bit of that policy is namely the we trust you to do that part, and that the community understands this responsibility. If we imagine for a moment HPR being a great theatre where each show has their own hall, in your hall you will not be moderated and we will trust you not to say anything in there that would get us into trouble. If you are dealing with some topics of a delicate nature, we make sure that you take reasonable steps to ensure people do not accidentally stumble upon this. We do not want anyone to be in a situation where they're exposed to an unsavory experience." We go on to say, "Please note this relates only to the audio you upload. The rest of the metadata branding, summaries, tags, show, etc. are managed by the HBR community and may be edited. To use our theatre analogy from before, outside the hall, the janitors ensure that the entire theatre is kept welcoming to all. One of our contributors is having a difficult time with this responsibility, not only within their shows, but also in their show notes, in the comments, and now on the mailing list. I can understand that this is difficult for them, but a lot of leniency has been given over the years. At a particular point, you have to accept that even more help is required in showing them the best way to interact with the community. Therefore, I wish to propose that until trust can be re-established, all submissions by Mechiotronic, aka Anacor, to the mailing list will be approved by the janitors. We will take up contact with him in cases where the content may cause offence, and we have had some success with this approach before. This will not apply to anybody else. All our actions will, of course, be overseen by the HBR auditors, who are volunteer community members outside of the janitor and admin team."
Do you want me to read?
Please do, yeah.
Carl Chavez has comment. He says, "Sounds good to me, but I'm curious what effing non-system D, non-dog, obscured it distro he goes with. I've become kind of an Alpine fanboy, and I'd like to know if I have an unsavory convert. Maybe he'll liven up the Alpine wiki."
And to which Anacor Mechiotronic responds, "I might stick with MX for a while. I use TLP UI to disable the PCI runtime power management on battery, and currently been up to 42 minutes without USB dying, so may have stumbled into it. I keep changing back when I try disabling USB suspend, so I try the PCIe option and it seemed to be working. Don't know what the PCIe stuff has to do with USB, but maybe it uses the same power rail. I'm pretty sure I've tried Alpine before. Did not like Big Box though, although you probably changed it. I'll try it out again as live and see how it does with the hardware, BitChute and the video. Just wondering why I responded. Bernard M. wrote, I shook my head about, did he send that to me? Did I just post that to the public mailing list?
I was trying to work out what that was. Looks like you CC'd it to the list, did you?
Yeah, I sent it to the list. Okay, I shan't read that out, but I will read my reply. Sorry about that. That was not my intention. The email itself fails JWP's would you say that in front of granny test, but for me it was the awfulest response to Jezra, from which is the straw that broke the camel's back. Jezra handled it correctly and has been around long enough to know that the community is behind him. Imagine that you had just joined the mail list and the first post you got was that. Say you were brave enough to call him out and got attacked like that on a private email. It's possible we would never even know. The janitors have had to deal with a lot worse from this contributor in the form of trolling behavior, illegal content, and other cases of direct attacks to people who questioned his behavior. The excuse that he was not aware that he was replying to the person directly cuts no ice with me anymore. So enough is enough. His behavior is not helping grow the community. We have put a lot of effort into making this a welcoming place for people that might be scared to do their first show. Just this month, we expect new contributors because a lot of people at their own personal expense put in the time and effort to represent us at Fustin. The annoying part is that Mechatronic, aka Anacor, produces good shows and is a valuable member of the community. Phrased differently, no one would have any problem with his question.
So there's a reply from Windigo to that message. You want me to read that?
Yeah.
I agree with this approach, says Windigo. This is an isolated case that seems intended to fall outside the very reasonable guidelines in place. Indeed, they seem to have a history of malicious intent and have been treated with tolerance and patience so far. I can appreciate the delicate balance that the janitors are attempting to maintain, preserving freedom for hosts while keeping the community welcoming. Thanks for all the hard work.
And Jason said, I seem to have missed the issue. Any specific issue in question? Oh, I did. And then he says, did see it uncalled for. I'd say approving his post is warranted enough, although auto delete is the route I'd take if it were me. Yeah.
And Paul Quirk comments, freedom of speech is one of the greatest freedoms of modern civilization, but it's based on the assumption that those who use it will be civilized and civil.
And Brian says, who determines what's civilized and civil? Just delete Mechatronic's email if you don't want to read them. Does show how Europa has succumbed to non-liberal thinking when people at free open source software developer meetings think moderation of speech is good and necessary. Brian in Ohio. Keep up the tunes coming, Paul. And can you read Windigo's comment there, Dave, please?
Yep. I'm a US citizen, says Windigo, standing on red-blooded American soil, eating flags for breakfast and defecating the Constitution.
Shitting the Constitution, Dave. Say it loud and say it proud.
Okay. Not scared of it, but prefer not to. My opinion isn't tainted by the continent I live on, surely. Personally, attacking HBR hosts is unacceptable and is a great way to lose hosts. It was handled in a transparent way and the janitors showed a ton of restraint and fairness.
Excellent. And the follow was from Jezra. We, the members of the community, what kind of language we will accept in our community? If growing the community and getting more people involved and thus having more shows is a community goal, then it is of interest to the community to see to it that exclusionary language is not part of the community. If all are welcome, then all should feel welcome.
And Brian in Ohio replies, sorry, didn't know someone was attacked.
So there are a few other comments, JWP. Hi, Ken and everyone else. So I'm a fan of free talk and varied opinions. What I'm not a fan of is inappropriate content in public. Yes, as Ken says, if you cannot say it to your grandma, you might not want to say it in a podcast. The title of our platform is Hacker Public Radio. There's nothing sexual in the title. So it might not be appropriate to talk about six topics based on our platform name. To talk about sex technology or medicine might be okay or even enjoyable. As we went through the last time, if you attack something in your podcast or violate laws in your podcast, no, that does not work either. In May, I'm going down to the basement. A Raspberry Pi will work with a 1980s serial terminal and do things on the internet. There will be a few podcasts about this. Those podcasts will not have sexual or criminal acts or things your grandma might like to see them. Our community should strive for podcasts like this. Take care and be safe.
And DNT says, I think it would be ideal if people who act like a prick just told off repeatedly in public until they either adjust or leave on their own. But I understand this may not always work out, and the desire to keep the environment friendly is legitimate, especially at this time because of the work that several people put into promoting HPR at Fosdem. I really appreciate the janitor's efforts to accommodate Mechatroniac so that we can all enjoy his contributions. It shows a strong commitment to retaining every host, and it seems like it would have been much easier for them to ask for support for a ban. If they're willing to moderate him, so be it. It's worth mentioning, too, that the message that started all this was completely off-topic for this mailing list. Might have made more sense on IRC or on the Matrix channel, where maybe it even would have been tolerated. Thanks, DNT.
And Ron says, thanks. Publicly accessible HPR repository for a HPR static site. Thanks to the interest shown by Mechatronic and Norrist to show HPR 3797 how to submit changes to HPR, I've created a publicly accessible repository on GitLab. Actually, it was where I originally hosted it. I just forgot it was there. The GitLab repository will be updated once a day from the one on the repo.anonymoushost.net. And cool. The GitLab link is in the show notes, gitlab.com/Rowan.Horing/HPR_generator.
Cool. Very good.
So, yes. What else is there left to do, Dave? Nothing. I think we're done.
I think we're done as well. Yes, indeed. So,
tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of
Hacker
Public
Radio.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.